Hi, this is Allison Sheridan of the NoSillaCast podcast, hosted at podfeet.com. Today is Sunday, January 8th, 2006, and this is show number 26. Well, tomorrow's Macworld Expo, and I'm pretty excited about that. I'm sure having my fingers and toes crossed for Intel-based PowerBooks, but I don't think my dream is going to come true. It sounds like they're more likely to sneak in the Mac Mini and the iBooks is what I hear more rumors about. But I want a new PowerBook. I've got a 1 GHz G4 aluminum, so I suppose I'm just being a big whiner. Nobody's got any sympathy for me, I find. But I do find I'm waiting around a little bit for this thing, and I watch the PC people going faster, and it bugs me, so I'd sure like to see something going fast. My friends complain. They say, oh, you're always buying yourself a new computer. But it's not true. I'm always buying a computer, but not always for me. It's actually been 2.5 years, almost 2.5 years for me. But I did buy 3 computers in the last 12 months, so I guess they've got a point. So anyway, I think I'll probably give the PowerBook 6 months if they do come out in January. I think I'll give them a little bit of extra time because I don't think I want to be quite on that bleeding edge. I do like the bleeding edge, but not that far out. So I wanted to make apologies for last week's sound quality. I've been having a terrible time, and I have just figured out what's wrong tonight. First of all, I was having trouble with Audacity, which is the program that the open source application I use to record the podcast. I got complaints from a few folks that my sound quality was really low, and it turns out the input level, if you don't crank it all the way up to the top, and then, which is ridiculous, you can't listen to it if it was the input was that high, and then you dial it down, you can make it a reasonable sound. But if you simply start with it at the level that you really want it to end up at, it comes in too low. So I think that's actually a bug. I should write to those guys about that. But anyway, so I fixed that. But then when I was up in Fresno, when I did the podcast on the 26th of December, right after my car got hit, I had this terrible buzz. So I read this guy that said that he had trouble with the buzz on his microphone input, so he moved his mic over to the other different USB port, and it worked fine. So I tried that when I was up in Fresno, and boy, it worked great. I got rid of that buzz, and I recorded my show. So last week, I come home, and I'm doing it at my house, and I get the buzz again. Like, oh man, this is terrible. So I switched over to the other side, and I still had the buzz. So, cripes, I said, all right, I'm getting buzz on Audacity. Maybe something's wrong with Audacity. I'll switch over to Wiretap Pro, which I had just gotten for Christmas. And I did the recording. I listened. It sounded pretty good. And then I listened to it after I had it all finished, and it sounded so muffled. I couldn't believe it. So tonight, I was messing around with Audacity, and I think what I had done wrong was I'd set the microphone input to have not just the microphone line in, but also the internal microphone to the Mac. So I think it was getting both of them, and it was getting a muffled sound because of that. So I messed around with that, and I got it to work right. And I thought, you know, I'm still confused about what's going on with Audacity. So I went back to Audacity, and I tried it on the left port, and it was buzzing, and I tried it on the right, and it wasn't. I said, wait a minute. Okay, I thought, you know, I'd messed around with Wiretap at this point. I thought, I'll go back to Audacity, and I plugged it in on the left, and the buzz was gone. And then I realized I had unplugged my Apple Mighty Mouse from the right port. I plugged the Mighty Mouse back in, the buzz was back. Unplugged it, the buzz is gone. The Mighty Mouse is causing a buzz on my microphone. Holy moly. Well, it's a silly little mouse anyway, but if that's a good reason not to use it, that's for sure. So I am currently mouseless, so if you sense that I'm struggling using a trackpad, you just work with me. But I'm so excited that I figured this out, because my buddy Ron and I, and listener Ron, were trying to figure out what the heck was wrong with my sound system here. And they've both been a great help, but it looks like I've figured out I don't need a new microphone yet. We thought for a while maybe the mic itself was going bad. I might get a professional mic at some point, but for now, it's okay. Now, I know you've all been very worried about my car, and I got it back, and it looks great. I cannot believe that someone actually met my standards. My neighbors think that I'm a complete nutball because I wash my car a lot. I don't just wash my car. I sometimes wash my husband's car. I always wash my daughter's car. I sort of wax all our cars. I probably wax my car maybe three times a year, at least twice a year, that's for sure. And I've gotten into doing this thing called claying, where you actually spray this spray stuff on and you rub it with a clay bar, and the clay picks up all that little dirty, those dots that you can feel with your hand that don't make it feel smooth. I've gotten kind of obsessed with doing that. So the idea that my car was hurt, there was no way anyone could paint that car to make it look just the same as it did before. But I'm telling you, these guys in my neighborhood did a great job. I'm just astonished. I was so happy I waxed my husband's car today. Because they told me I can't claim my car for a little while, so I have to wait like 3 months before I do it. But hey, don't worry, I had clayed it right before I got hit, so I'm a happy little camper. So, I wanted to tell you that my favorite Christmas present is still the iPod Nano lanyard headphones. I can't believe how handy this is now to be able to be walking around, I'm waxing my car, whatever, you know, did I mention I wax my car a lot? So I'm waxing my car, and I've got the headphones plugged in my ears. I've got the Nano tucked into my shirt. Somebody's always coming up and trying to talk to me when I'm waxing the car. I guess they think I want entertainment, but I'm listening to podcasts, so I don't need entertainment. But I can just pop the headphone out, and nothing falls. It just kind of drapes on my shirt. So I can unplug the headphones. I can turn it off. I can even turn it off through my shirt if I need to. It's just so handy. I can walk into the grocery store, be listening to a podcast, pop my headphone out. I can hear what they're saying. I really think this is the handiest thing I got. I did discover a new podcast yesterday. You've probably all heard of it before, but it's Father Roderick of the Catholic Insider podcast. And I was kind of hesitant to listen because I'm not hyper-religious, and I thought, boy, do I really want to listen to a Catholic priest. His podcast isn't particularly religious. I was listening to this one. He was talking about the TV show Lost, and he starts out, you mustn't watch this show. This show is bad. It is bad for you. And I'm thinking, oh great, here comes some religious fanatic talking about how this is a terrible show for your moral core. But what he said next just cracked me up. He said, it's bad. Last night I stayed up until 2 o'clock in the morning listening to this show, and I ate an entire bag of potato chips. Not a regular size bag of potato chips, the family size one. The one that you're supposed to share with 8 of your closest family members. So he went on and on. He actually loves the show, and he does a real interesting podcast. He's got such a fabulous accent. He's from Holland, and he's just got this this great accent. Really, really enjoyable to listen to, and he's definitely a tech geek. So I enjoyed the heck out of listening to him. I hope he gets a little more religious stuff going so I can get a little bit of inspiration. But anyway, I enjoyed the heck out of him. I wanted to give a little bit of an update on streaming of protected files from the iTunes Music Store. I mentioned last week that I was having trouble with my Roku Soundbridge, that I could not stream the protected AAC files from Apple. Again, this is highly ironic that if I stole the music, I'd be able to play it, but because I paid for it, I can't. And also that the Microsoft DRM protected files are okay. I don't have any of those, but I can tell by the documentation that they do that. So I checked on the Roku SoundBridge. A friend of mine got a Slim Devices, and I thought, well, maybe Slim Devices is able to play it. But if you look at their website, it says, please note that music purchased from the iTunes Music Store, protected AAC M4P files, is encrypted and cannot be played back with Squeezebox until Apple provides the necessary hooks to enable this. In the meantime, it is possible to burn your iTunes Music Store songs to CD and re-rip them as unprotected M4A files. So there's another device called Sonos, which is way too expensive to even think about buying. It's $11.99 for 2 zone players and 1 controller, so I wouldn't buy it anyway, but I thought I'd do a third data point to check. You know, you always check 3 clocks to make sure you know what time it is. And they say, quote, Sonos supports MP3, WMA, uncompressed wave, and AAC files, parentheses, not purchased through iTunes, though. So I think we've got a full set here that says that Apple is the evil in this particular story, and that's who's keeping us from playing the protected AAC files. If anyone knows how to get through to these guys and get a point across that it's a little bit ironic that we can't play files that we've paid for, but we could play stolen files if we wanted to, I'd sure appreciate some advice going to them. By the way, I apologize for my voice still being crispy. Yes, it's been 3.5 weeks since I had the Martian death flu, but I am still having trouble with my voice. But I'm sure in another 2-3 months I'll be fine. Another update. Listener Lynn asked about Picasa. She said, that she thought this sounded like an interesting application for her PC friends. She's a Mac user herself. And she said, but I want to know, can Picasa make CDs that Macintoshes can read? Well, this happens to be a particular pet peeve because I don't know how these PC people put up with how hard it is to make a CD on a PC. It's just unbelievably difficult. I mean, on the Mac, you drag the stuff to the CD and you say burn, and you're done, and it reads on everything. But anyway, so I loaded Picasa on my son's PC, and I ran an experiment. The first thing I tried doing was, as I mentioned, there's a button that says make share CD. So I thought that'd be the easiest way. There's a big button that says make share CD. So I clicked on that, added some files, burned the CD, and I put it on my Mac. When I first brought it in, though, it actually was in a slideshow format. Let me look it up exactly what it was called. It's like slide share or something like that. It turns out it's a standard format that actually the Macintosh screensavers are in. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. I didn't really want to make a slideshow. I kind of wanted to actually, have the files at my disposal. But I thought, okay, I can work with that. Then I decided to do a little bit more poking around, and I found that if you right-click on the file, you can actually open it up with show package contents. The file is called a .slidesaver file. Anyway, so you can right-click on it and say show package contents, and it opens up and it shows the photo files. Little bit clumsy. You'd have to have a reasonably adept Mac person to figure out that they could read that, though. So I'd gotten that far and I gave up, and then I decided to go back and check again, and it turns out that under Tools, Backup, then you can choose a folder full of photos and burn them to a CD. So I did that, threw the CD into the Mac, and I had to dig in a couple of folders to get to it, but they were really obviously named, and I was able to get in and see the files. So I can definitely recommend Picasa to give to your PC friends so that they can finally make CDs for you to be able to read on your Macintosh. Well, it's early on in the month, and I was hoping that some of you would trot on over to Podcast Alley and vote for the NoSillaCast. As always, there's a button on the homepage of podfeet.com where you can click on Vote, and I'd sure appreciate it if you did. Last month, the votes brought me up into the 500s out of 11,000 podcasts. Sure like to see that keep going up. I think it drops down if you don't get any new votes, so if you get a chance to head over there, I'd sure appreciate it. I'm really proud of everyone. I have seen Internet Explorer usage drop from 20% down to 11%. I'm assuming either I alienated a whole bunch of Windows users, or you've actually stopped using Internet Explorer and you're using Firefox or Mozilla or Opera or another alternative. Glad to see it. Let's see those numbers keep dropping. Well, you know, I got an iPod video from my boss. Big applause for my boss. I thought it'd be fun to start playing around with converting videos into iPod video format. The first thing I did was I tried iMovie. It turns out, I took some DV footage from my video camera, and I did clicked on share, and right there was iPod video format. So somewhere along the lines, I must have gotten an update to iPod video or to the whole iLife suite that took into account the fact that they just invented the iPod with video. So I was able to save the file that way, and I dragged it into my iTunes, and I synced my iPod video, and it looked fantastic. Really sharp quality. The sound was good. Trivial to do it. Was really nice. But then I thought, you know, I'd like to see whether I could move some DVDs into the iPod video. The first one I tried is called iSquint from iSquint.org. You need to download this software if only to read the help menu. Let me bring it up. The menu. Well, I won't entirely ruin it for you. I'll do that later. But the help menu is actually the song "Help" from the Beatles. There's no help file at all in this song. This developer is hilarious. He is really, really fun. From the main screen, I was able to import a DVD. Now, it's kind of cheating because I did this on a video on a DVD that I already had ripped to my hard drive. Of course, I'm not endorsing stealing any kind of movies or anything like that, but these are DVDs that I own and trying to put it in a different format so I could read it. I was able to pull in the VOB file from one of my the video that I had on my disc already, but what I didn't realize was you have to pull in all of them or you don't have the whole movie. So it wasn't a real good test, but I was able to bring in the first scenes from the movie Mr. Mom with Michael Keaton. If you haven't gone back and watched that lately, go back and watch it. I love that movie. On the the next thing I found was something called Handbrake Light, and it's actually the developer from iSquint who did it, but he actually just modified the real software Handbrake. I haven't experimented with Handbrake yet, but Handbrake Light has one function. You stick in a DVD and you say, make me an iPod video, and it does everything for you. The guy is hilarious, like I said, who wrote this stuff, but he refers to it as being horribly mangled handbrake cold code. He just says that he botched it all up, and this is what it's going to be like. And he's got on his FAQs, he's got a thing where he says, FAQ, question, can you add this feature? And it says, no! Handbrake Light is done. I can't add any features because I don't know how to write Object-C code. Only blind mangling of existing code. It's a miracle this even works at all. In fact, I can't even build Handbrake on my system anymore for some reason. Question, I don't know how to do this. Can you help me? Answer, no. Go ask your mom. Apologies to Titer, who is the author of the original application of Handbrake. He says, my boss made me do this. It's just a great application. I enjoyed the heck out of it. But anyway, I used it to pull in the movie How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, which I know it's a chick film, but I'm sorry, it cracks me up. Love that movie. I kept real good statistics. I was trying to measure it as I went along to see how long it was going to take, but then I had to go to bed because I was sleepy and I had to get up at 6:45 in the morning to go to the gym. But anyway, so I took a look at it, did some metrics on the way, and it looked like it was going to take about an hour and 40 minutes to do the movie, and I think the movie's about 2 hours. Now, that was on a 1 gigahertz G4 PowerBook. I plan on doing another test. I'll do a second movie on the dual core 2 gigahertz G5. I suspect it might be a teeny-weeny bit faster. I pulled the movie into the iTunes library, synced the video iPod just fine. Audio and video quality were quite good. I also took a look, short look at Podflix from tdmacinc.com, but it was $20. The other one was free, and it only lets you do a 2-minute clip to test before you buy, so it's not really good to do a full test for me. If they want to send me a code so I can test it, I would accept that, but in the meantime, I'm probably not going to play around with it. Stay tuned for more tests of different applications over the next few weeks. I'll let you know what's going on with that. I wanted to talk a little bit about the open source alternatives to Microsoft Office. I personally find Excel one of the greatest programs ever written. I love working in Excel. I like doing pivot tables. I'm a master at working with it. Love the tool. But I'm sorry, Microsoft Office is just useless. I mean, it's just, and I shouldn't say useless. It has so many features that are so far beyond anything any of us would ever use. For the price, it's way overdone. And PowerPoint, I'm sorry, it was written by Satan. I hate PowerPoint. I hate every moment that PowerPoint is on my screen. It makes me nuts. Not one single menu works like I want it to work. It changes things the way I don't want it to change. And actually, Word does that too. It just decides, okay, you want to indent now. And I said, well, no, I didn't want to indent. It says, yes, you do. And I never win this argument. I finally give up, and I let it do it the way it wants it to do it. So I've been experimenting a little bit. Give you a little bit of background. Sun Microsystems wrote a program called Star Office, which they sell with you know, a nice package and the whole thing. And it's not very expensive. I think it's around $70, $80. But they also put it out in the open source community. And it's called OpenOffice, which is available at openoffice.org. Now, I think that runs under Linux. I know it runs under Windows, but it does not run under the Mac on the Macintosh operating system. So for the rest of us, the option that available is called NeoOffice. The problem with NeoOffice is that it runs under Java, so it takes forever to open. The newest version takes even longer than the older version, but I'm talking like 2 or 3 minutes to open. So you want to kick that off, go get yourself a cup of coffee and come back. But once it gets going, it's actually a really nice application. The first thing you'll be surprised by is that all of the applications, the word equivalent, the word processing application, the presentation application, the spreadsheet application, and a drawing application are all available to you right away. They're not separate applications. It's all one big suite of products. So you just say, I want a new spreadsheet, or I want a new Office document, or word processing document. It's hard not to use the Microsoft lingo, you know? But the menus look very, very similar to the to Microsoft Office. A little bit old, clunky, maybe Windows 98 kind of a look to it. It's not flashy. It's not Googled out and looking pretty or anything. But they work pretty much like they do in the Microsoft Office applications. The spreadsheet application even does have pivot tables. They're called something else. I forget what, but they actually function pretty much the same. So I've been using NeoOffice on and off for a couple of different reasons. I'm thinking about trying to work with it for quite a while and see what happens. But I get these weird .slk files. Evidently, it stands for Symbolic Link Format and has something to do with Excel. But our silly HR organization outputs these slick files, and I can't open them in Excel. They won't open on the Macintosh. But guess what? They open in NeoOffice. I find it really funny when Microsoft Office applications aren't compatible with themselves, but I can use a third-party tool and it works just fine. So I use it to open these slick files. And then the second example, last week, I'm working along in this Excel file. I open it up. It's got a bunch of data. I'm doing all this complicated stuff in it. I'm formatting and I'm putting in little notes and I'm looking things up and I'm working on it. Probably 45 minutes. And then I've got some problems with my Excel anyway, but I accidentally launched the help, and the help slid under the menu bar, so I couldn't get it to it to get rid of it, and I couldn't get rid of it to move it, so I said, okay, forget it. I'll just quit Excel. I can save my file, quit Excel, and I'll go back in. Went back in, couldn't open the file. Just says, unable to open file. It's like, oh, man, I put down all this work, and I thought, wait a minute. And I launched NeoOffice, went, got a cup of coffee, came back, it was up. Opened the file just fine. So I worked in that for the rest of the day. Forget Excel. Well, not really. I like Excel. But I know I've got a good fallback there. I also used it in a belligerent way. I was working on our performance management system, and the files will only open in a web browser in Internet Explorer on the PC. You know how I hate that. So I had to go over to the PC, and I had to open it up, but I was using remote desktop connection, which I should explain at a later show. I'm not ready to do a full review on it, but it allows you to connect to a PC and display it back to your Macintosh. So I used that to get into the files. I opened them in the web browser. I copied all the data out of them, pasted it into OpenOffice or NeoOffice over on the Mac, and I worked in there the whole time. And then I pasted it back in. So nobody knew I was being belligerent, but I felt really belligerent sitting in my office using the wrong tool. So anyway, I encourage you to give NeoOffice a try if you're on the Macintosh. It's available at neooffice.org, or you can check out OpenOffice at openoffice.org. Both good tools. Encourage you to give it a whirl. I'm thinking, you got a PC or a Mac in your kid's room and they want Microsoft Office, just fling that on and see what happens. I want to end with a terrific story about Apple's graphing calculator. Okay, so you think I'm nuts. What kind of geek thinks a story of a graphing calculator would be interesting? I promise you, trust me on this one. This is a great story. The history behind this lovely little application that has been on our Macs for decades, literally since the PowerPCs were invented. Well, maybe that's not decades, but a long time. The story of this is intriguing and amazing. It's the story of a guy who got fired by Apple, but he was so committed to the graphing calculator that he was working on, the project, that he continued to sneak into the company to work on it. I guess they weren't real tight with their security there, but with the help of some engineers who were still being paid by Apple, and because Apple didn't keep very good tabs on their folks, no one noticed that he had no boss. He was able to get office space. It was hilarious, and he was able to keep working on the project. He never lied to anybody. Anytime someone asked him point blank, do you work here? He'd say no. Of course, at one point he did get thrown out, but he was still able to work on the project. At one point, there were even layoffs in the company, and he didn't get hit because he didn't actually work there, so they didn't know to fire him. The story goes on to explain how he got the software into the golden CD that delivers the operating system to all Macintoshes, but you've just really got to read this story to believe it. It is hilarious. The software is no longer included with OS X, but you can download it after you read the story. It's a really cool tool. Just go through the visualizer and see some of the most amazing things. There's a paid-for version that creates the really cool graphs, but I can spend hours playing around with this tool. So check out this story at pacifist.com/story. Well, that's going to wind it up for this episode of the NoSillaCast podcast. As always, feedback is welcome at allison@podfeet.com, or you can put a comment in the show notes. Hope you do. I'm not getting a terrible amount of feedback yet, so I'm not overwhelmed. We want to get me overwhelmed, don't you think? But I hope you'll send me a note if you like something, if you don't like something, if you got suggestions, let me know. Appreciate you listening, and stay subscribed.